T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm excited for this one. Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. We do it every single day leading up to the NFL draft, which I believe is 4 weeks from tomorrow night is the first round.
Wow.
It's almost here.
Yeah.
Today we go to Pro Football Focus. Here's what they put out, their latest mock draft. Number one, Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC to the Chicago Bears. Number two, Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina to the Commanders. Number three, Jaden Daniels from LSU. The quarterback goes to the Patriots at number four, Marvin Harrison Jr., and a trade-up. The Chargers trade out of 5. Vikings get up to get J.J. McCarthy. Let's roll down to the Eagles pick. At number 22 in the latest mock draft from Pro Football Focus, the Philadelphia Eagles select Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas.
Hung up in the wind a little bit. Here's Worthy, makes the first man miss. Straight ahead past the 40. A 75-yard return for a touchdown. Well, you mentioned it, Dave. This punt hung up in the air, and Xavier Worthy got the blocks that he needed. He had a crease, and there are few players in all of college football as explosive as Xavier Worthy. He hits the speed burst, and it's heels to the field. Not a chance for a BYU defender.
Now, wait a second. Is that an omen there? Did you hear who was on the call? That it was another one we had. Was that not T-Mac?
That was not.
Okay.
I thought it was T-Mac.
Okay, thought it was T-Mac.
I was wrong.
I thought I missed it because you said it was T-Mac. Anyway, there's another call somewhere out there of T-Mac calling one of his touchdowns. Hugh, Xavier Worthy, 4-2-1 40 time.
Yes.
A wide receiver out of Texas. The comparison that I've seen for Xavier Worthy is DeSean Jackson. Your reaction if he's the pick at 22?
Speed kills, no question about that. But guys usually that fast that run those times at the combine, they usually don't normally work out that well, even though DeSean Jackson that are taking that high that work out that well. DeSean Jackson is probably the anomaly. He wasn't taking that high, but he still was a hell of a player.
Great player.
I think that if you draft him that high at number one, then the writing's on the wall for somebody. Like, and I don't know who that somebody is. A.J. Brown is under contract, and the Slim Reaper
is not.
So you got to ask yourself, who are we talking about getting rid of?
Well, I don't think anyone would be gone in the moment.
In the moment, but that's almost, to me, that's the equivalent of drafting a receiver that high, almost like taking a quarterback in the first round, and Jalen's already here.
So, I think the conversation would be impacted by between now and the draft, have they re-signed Devontae Smith? Have they given him a new contract? If they haven't, our brains are going to go right to that. Like, hold on a second.
Definitely.
Are they not going to pay Devontae? I mean, there's also a chance they pay Devontae, and then a year from now, they trade a guy like A.J. away. I mean, that is certainly possible. But for a year, or however they want to keep it together, Xavier Worthy's speed in this offense, I mean, think about what they tried for years with Quez Watkins. That was the whole purpose of Quez Watkins, right, to stretch the field,
well,
to be
a
guy.
That's a hell of a field. Like, man, you got to respect every time he take off, you bailing, like, for real. Yeah, it would be great to have. No question about it.
Again, every time this happens, you guys rope me in. I get excited. I start thinking about the possibilities. And then I remind myself that we've got a lot of holes on the defensive side of the football. Would I be upset if Xavier Worthy was the pick?
Well, I don't think anybody would.
No, because he seems like he's going to be a good football player and maybe a game changer in the NFL.
Oh, some people would complain.
Some people complain. My issue would be, how are they stopping anyone? He is fun, though. And the fact that DeSean Jackson
is the comp,
that just kind of like makes you wide-eyed.
Icing on the cake.
To what this thing could be. This is your guy, isn't it, Kyle? You've been on this Xavier Worthy train for a little while now.
You can pretty much, I'm at a point where I've realized this, at least with where the team is at now. Like, if we were a rebuilding team, you know, I'd probably be more on your side of, like, pillars, building blocks. But, like, where the Eagles are at right now and where I view them, you can pretty much talk me into any skill position player on offense, and I am down in the draft.
You just want to win. I ain't mad at you, Kyle. You just want somebody that's going to make this offense better and win.
I just want to rack up points in a league that feels like that's how you win. Is
and, you
up
know,
points.
You want to rack up points because our defense is going to be hot garbage.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Or we could, you know, draft good defensive players and fix that.
Luxury, not a necessity.
Yeah, you say that. And last year they got torched by Sam Howell and Mac Jones.
You keep bringing up those names and bringing up the past.
They're bad.
I tend not to live in the past, Joe.
That was a couple months ago.
Kind of want to move forward with this whole defensive thing. And, you know, we got some guys now.
Wasn't it less than 3 months ago Tyrod Taylor cut him up? Tyrod Taylor.
Our defense is going to be much smarter than they were in the past, Joe.
Yeah,
we're going to get this right.
Hugh, I could know what to do if I don't have the physical ability to do it. It doesn't matter.
Not a necessity.
All right. Xavier Worthy, the pick.
See, we get Xavier Worthy, we'll be able to go shot for shot with Tyrod Taylor.
That's how you build a team right there. Just, you got to go shot for shot with a bad team and a bad quarterback. All right. I think this is our first mock seeing Xavier Worthy, but
yes.
I've seen a lot of his name now, bottom of the first round. I even saw one recently where the Chiefs were in on this kid. I mean, it seems like he might really be a first-round pick. This doesn't feel like a stretch.
It's always somebody that goes in the first round that nobody mocked to go in the first round. That's the great part about it because, you know, we all feel like we know what GMs are thinking or what teams need and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But every year, there's always somebody that sneaks into that first round that nobody, you know, thought about being a first-round player. And he could potentially be it.
You know what we need to do? Speaking of that, we need to go back and find a 1995 mock draft. I want to see what they were saying about Hugh Douglas and where they
were.
I
was not mocked. I do know that.
You weren't? So it was a surprising pick.
No, it was funny because I remember watching the draft, and when they called my name, it was almost like Mel Kiper was scrambling to figure out, you know, who I was and all this other stuff. Because it was like one of those things where I don't think I was mocked to be in the first round. So it was kind of like on the fly type deal.
I may have stumbled upon one here. I'm seeing Mel Kiper's mock draft 1995. I would be very curious to see if anyone had Hugh Douglas in a mock because he was saying
they don't know who he is.
I mean, sometimes people, you know, you get surprised, and obviously you were more of a surprise pick. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to T in Collinsville. What's up, T?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Hey,
great
T.
Show always.
Thanks, T. What are you feeling today?
I just think, well, first of all, the Schwarber thing. I'm with you, man. Schwarber statistically is best in the leadoff, and it should be a no-brainer. I don't know why people get a hole in his fit just because of Schwarber's there. He's fine there. Don't worry about it. It'll be great. Opening day's coming around the corner. It's going to help us take us to the promised land. I really feel like the Phillies this year are going to be about 93, 94 wins. That's where I have them. Call me crazy, but
I don't think you're crazy, T. Their over-under is 89.5, but I think they're going to be over that. I think they're in the 90s, too. I'm with you on this.
Yeah, and the whole Sirianni thing, I just don't think it's Philadelphia. It's the market we're in. I don't think we're overreacting. I think it's spot on how everyone's, you know, feeling about the whole Sirianni thing. I'm indifferent. You know, I'm fine with what's going on, but I need to see better results. We need to get over the hump. And the whole Xavier Worthy thing, I think you're crazy if you believe that Xavier Worthy. Just because he has a 4. See, the problem with this is everybody already knew he was fast. And now he ran a 4.21 and they're counted twice. Like, he's not worthy of the 22nd pick for the Philadelphia Eagles for this scenario there. I think it's crazy. I think it's blasphemy. I don't think it's proper. I don't think it's legitimate. I think they're going to sign Devontae. They're going to have AJ. They're not getting Xavier Worthy. That's not the pick they're going to do.
Well, I mean,
I'll bet you $100.
I think you're right on this. Look. They have been so far on the offensive side of things for so long that nothing shocks me anymore. But, that they need a pass rusher if they move on from Reddick. They need an offensive lineman, and they need a defense. So, to me, it's way down the board of needs. But, you know, I sit here next to these offensive guys, especially Hugh. That's all they think about is offense.
And in closing, you know, with the wide receivers that are there, you can get legitimate wide receiver three in the second and third round. It just doesn't make sense. It's not logical.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, it's well down the list in these. T, we appreciate the phone call. Hugh, I did find a mock draft from 1995.
You did?
Yes. The internet's amazing. So this is like a compilation of mock drafts. They have Don Banks, the late writer that used to write for Sports Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Buschbaum, who then was with, I guess, Pro Football Weekly was the publication, and Mel Kiper. So they, like, took all their picks for each pick and then, like, showed you what they all guessed.
Uh-huh.
One of them mocked you in the first round. So three mock drafters in 95. One had Hugh as a first-round pick. One of them had you number 18 to the Raiders. So one of them thought you were a first-round pick. The other one said, nah.
Yeah, basically.
Mel Kiper, not a first-round pick, Hugh Douglas.
No, you know what's funny? And I remember when I was asked, what team did you want to play for? I wanted to play for the Raiders. I'd play for the Raiders. Definitely wanted to be a Raider. But who didn't want to be a Raider back then?
They were still kind of cool.
Yeah.
They're not cool anymore.
No, they're just dysfunctional. It's crazy.
The Raiders in my lifetime are pretty close to like a Browns equivalent.
Joke.
Yeah, they're a joke.
That's great.
When was the last Raiders playoff victory?
I mean, they were pretty good with Derek Carr, but he tore his or broke his leg.
Yep.
And then they didn't do anything.
That was 16. They made the playoffs.
Their last one, they had a drought, so it might be 2002.
I think it is. Now, they made the playoffs a couple years ago and lost to Burrow in the first round when the Bengals got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, their last playoff win.
Their last playoff win, I think it was the AFC title game with Rich Gannon. I mean, that's forever ago.
The John Ritchie era?
Yeah.
I think John, they came to town one time and beat the brakes off. They came to Philly and beat the brakes off us one time.
I mean, like, think about how long ago that is.
Yeah, that was why it was Jerry Rice and Tim Brown came in and gave us that work.
I mean,
it was wild.
The last time the Raiders won a playoff game, three of our hosts at WIP were playing.
Yeah.
In their prime.
Six.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, it was wild, man. It was wild.
Total joke. All right, let's go to Carl in Maple Shade. What's up, Carl?
Yo, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Carl?
Hey, Carl.
Hey, I'm about to change the name on a caller.
What are you changing it to?
Mad Mike to Sad Mike.
Sad Mike.
Sad Mike is not smart enough to know how smart Howie Roseman is.
He is very, yeah, for all the people he's down on, Howie's the one that I like the most. Howie's obviously good at what he does.
Has Sad Mike ever heard of a man named Shane Steichen?
I'm sure he's heard of him.
It's about the coordinators. What did Howie do? He brought in two top level. Not only two top level, but Fangio's at home. See, Sad Mike can't look this far ahead. He's at home. He's not getting picked by another team, no matter how good the Eagles do. And I think the offensive coordinator will go in line with that. So Howie brought in coordinators that can grow roots without getting picked.
Well, that's important. I mean, Carl, we saw it a couple years ago, but Steichen leaving it threw the whole thing off. Now, there's a chance Kellen Moore becomes a head coach, but you're right, Carl. There is also a chance he stays around a while. And Fangio's not going anywhere. I mean, he's going to be here.
Yeah. Well, Sad Mike needs to listen to WIP a little bit more, and he'll learn football.
How about that, Carl?
I'm tired of his nonsense.
Carl, man, we love you. We appreciate that.
Mike's problem might be that he listens to WIP too much.
No one could listen to WIP too much. What do you think about that, Hugh? He became Sad Mike in that call.
That was a lot, Joe. That was a lot.
Well, I mean, but renamed him.
Yeah, that Mad Mike comes in and you kind of know he's like he's a little bit of a dream snatcher, dream killer a little bit.
Well, but it's his brand.
I mean, that's what he does.
He's mad about everything. I mean, that's what he does. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Here we go, Kyle. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
You, Joe, Kyle, I got a question for you guys.
What do you got?
What do you have to do to win baseball games?
Score runs.
Score runs and not allow runs.
So why if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. Leave Swerve Bombs alone. Leave him in his position at leadoff hitter. This guy, he gets you 40 home runs a year. Like, why would you want to mess with that? This guy is. You think I'm not going to have this guy on FanDuel getting this guy for a home run a lot this season? I am.
He's an anomaly.
He's like an automatic home run. Like, you don't worry about his base running when this guy is scoring runs. Like, That's not something that you worry about.
Yeah, and the team's winning, Terrence. I mean, that's it for me. It's not. I mean, he's going to hit home runs wherever he hits, but the team wins when he hits leadoff. And the whole lineup, I just think it flows better this way. Hugh, it's one of those things that we discuss every day, and I never understand why it's such a big thing, because it's worked. It works.
Yeah, it does, and I have no problem with it. Like, looking at the numbers, and you're talking about from a leadoff standpoint, 83 home runs in the last two seasons.
It's remarkable.
I mean, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, and it's scoring runs. And a quick thing on Sirianni, he deserves to be on a hot seat. I hope Jeffrey Lurie knows what he's doing. I saw him in a press conference holding Sirianni to a high standard. To me, by bringing in Kellen Moore, it kind of showed that they were desperate, and that it kind of showed that Nick Sirianni needed help at his coaching position. By bringing in Kellen Moore, a veteran coordinator, you kind of like expose yourself, and that's, to me, that's what it seems like by bringing in Kellen Moore, and your offense was stalling, and you had no answer to this. So I hope Jeffrey Lurie knows what he's doing, because he had all those coaches out there that you could have brought in, and I hope Nick knows what he's doing, because if these guys get off to a rocky start, all hell's going to break loose.
Well, that's for sure. And yeah, I mean, the point, Terrence, it's a good phone call, Terrence. We appreciate it. You know, Moore's here to save this offense. I mean, that's it. Lurie made it out yesterday that this was all Nick Sirianni's idea to bring in Kellen Moore.
No, I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think that, you know, there was a conscious effort to go get the offense and make it better. But I don't know how comfortable I feel with trying to hire the guy that was up for the same job that I was up for not too long ago. So, I mean, you know, I mean, but your job is to try to make the team better. And I get that, but still, I don't know if that, I want to play that close to it, play it that close, though.
It is a little awkward. I mean, it's weird. I mean, they interviewed Kellen Moore to be the head coach, and obviously they chose Sirianni, and now Kellen Moore's here to save Sirianni's job. I mean,
bacon.
Yeah, he is, bacon, to an extent. All right, do we have to take this call, Kyle? I mean, I guess I don't have to, but.
No, we don't, but, you know, just get it out of the way.
Cowboy Jim is up next. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Well, I have a list of things I want to talk about.
Today.
What have I done to deserve this?
You pick what you want to talk about, or you can talk about all of them. Name calling Sirianni, Hughes clues, Cowboy pep talk, Schwarber, Jeffrey Lurie, or my prediction for the Phillies. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, I mean, we can't do all that. I mean, nobody has the patience for that, Jim. Are you okay with the fact that your quarterback's going to be a free agent after the season? What's going on down there?
That's what I need a little pep talk here. I believe in my team. I believe in my quarterback. I just need you. I mean, enough of this Eagle talk and Philly talk. It's boring. You know,
this is WIP.
Yeah, it is. We are based in Philadelphia.
You're a sports radio show, right? Okay, keep it that way.
Yeah, we talk about Philadelphia sports.
Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
Hugh, the NFL is changing its rules. You need to change your Hughes clues. Don't start off with one clue. Two clues.
First of all, you can't start off with
she's an actress. There's a billion actresses.
Like,
you have
listen,
to have a second clue.
Haven't you noticed, Joe, like, people are complaining about Hughes clues ever since we started giving out tickets?
Well, because the prize is big now.
Yeah, see, listen, you should have complained about this when we first started doing it. I always give out, like, a basic clue
generic,
at the beginning.
A generic clue.
Jim, I'll make you feel better. You're never winning the tickets anyway, so don't worry about it, pal.
But you can't just say an actress or an actor.
You know what? Tomorrow, you know what I'm going to do clues. If we do Hughes clues? I'm going to say it's a person.
It's a really annoying caller.
I'm
going to guess Cowboy Jim, and it's going to lose for everybody. Jim, they're not. Dak Prescott's going to be a free agent after the season.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah,
I just need a little pep talk. That's why I'm asking you.
Pep talk about what? Like, your owner is doodling in his notebook at the owner's meetings instead of getting things done. You guys have issues, Jim.
He's got to put pressure on him. I know. I have faith in them. I just need a little help here. Just tell me something good.
I'll tell
you something good. Dak leaving. He's leaving Dallas, and he's going to go somewhere else and have way more success. How about
Next year, he could be with the Eagles, and who knows?
Dak Prescott $60 million a season. Jim, the issue is the Cowboys are in trouble. I mean, you feel this, right? Like, they're taking a major step back this season.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little nervous. I need that's why I'm asking you guys. You guys are helping me out here anyway. Let's see. What do we want to get to? We got to that. Name-calling. Name-calling. I've enjoyed the name-calling for Sirianni, okay? I think I should call him everything that Howard has called me. Stupid, nitwit, idiot, dummy, dope, and asinine. So that's pretty much that's your coach.
He's a fraud.
A fraud.
You ever think maybe there's a reason people are calling you these things, Jim?
And Jeffrey Lurie, he sounded like a robot. Is Howie writing that speech for him? Because he sounds like a robot. I'd rather have Jerry Jones, somebody with a personality.
Are you serious?
Well, he does have great personality, Jerry. But and Jerry's like, also...
You can have Jerry Jones,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, you have him. He's doodling in his notepad. All right, Jim, what's your Phillies prediction? Let's wrap that up.
81-81.
Oh, stop.
They don't make the playoffs because they choke all the time.
This is a joke,
no,
quite
it,
frankly.
Jim. See, I like let him hang on one extra
just
second
a little
too
bit
long.
Too long.
A little too
that
long.
That was too much. That was just too much.
I thought Elliott's prediction of the Phillies was the most pessimistic we'd hear. 81-81.
That's the second time somebody complained about the clues and Hughes clues.
Are you starting to feel a certain way?
Not at all.
Okay.
These are some good prizes. Expand your mind a little
bit. Also, it's your thing.
Yeah, you it's get my thought. It's my thoughts too.
You get to make the clues any way you want.
Yeah, and I like to have them ride out a little bit when the show starts. If I give you too good of a clue. Which he started out doing that. You might guess early, and then doesn't do nothing for my self esteem.
Yeah, that hurt you last
year. A little self esteem.
I think it was right around this time last year. It was around opening day.
Yeah, I ain't doing
that. Well, you're past that now, Hugh. It's all right. James is an exit. What's up, James?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Good, James.
Now?
What's up, buddy?
All right. So listen, I don't think you guys are paying attention to history. You know, it's not the boy. It's not totally his fault. You know, when the Eagles won, you guys were all happy. But remember, they barely made it to the first playoff game. A couple of people had to lose, and then they got in. And then they won the Super Bowl.
Well, that's not, James,
so,
that's not true.
Hold on, James.
I'll let you finish. But what are you talking about? They had the one seed.
Wait a minute. He said what now? They barely won.
But I'm stuck on they barely – Go back 2 years.
Said they barely got in.
They won 38-7 in their first playoff game. What are you talking about, James?
No, wait a minute. The first season that he was there.
Oh. You mean
when you guys
okay? I got you.
Bay,
I got you. His first year.
When
well,
you Tampa Bay.
Well, but no.
You Philly
but,
fans don't listen.
No, James, you're wrong. James, you're wrong
so
on this. Hold on. Time out. Time out. They clinched with a week to go, and they rested their starters in the final week. They were in.
Okay, man. They got blown out by Tampa Bay, yes?
Yes. All right.
This year.
Okay. I'll meet you there. Right. I'll meet you in the middle
okay.
of that one.
All right. So, when Sirianni got the team, he was, what, two-year boy wonder. He had some offensive quality control jobs. And then he had Steichen. They went back-to-back years. They played well. They learned history. They won. The next year, no, you guys aren't going to accept that the offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators are don't have all the experience. So, yeah, they were going to take a dive. They were going to lose some games. They just happened to lose them at the end of the season.
James, I generally agree with you on this point. I agree. I agree with this.
Took a long time to get there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's right. Well, it's the way the season went that made us so angry. If you told me before the year they went 11-6, I'm not shocked.
Okay, so then, let the man be able to coach this year. I'm not even an Eagles fan. I'm a Steelers fan. Let the man coach and see what he can do. Y'all went out and got more. Y'all got better, not better. Y'all got more experienced coordinators. Then you could say whether he could play or not. And then when it comes to Jalen, stop putting Jalen down because he don't rah. That's not his thing.
And it never has been. James, what do you think of Kenny Pickett? I need your Kenny Pickett take if you're a Steelers fan. What do we got here?
Oh, man, Kenny needed to go. He got ruined, and he wasn't going to grow, so he needed to go.
How did he get ruined, though? I'm curious. Who ruined him?
He got ruined. Canada ruined him.
Yeah, Canada was an awful coordinator.
Okay. All right, Canada sucked. Yeah, so he got ruined, you know? And get this, right? He really wasn't supposed to play much of the first year. It's just that Trubisky was just worse than worse. So, you know, I'm happy that Kenny got a second chance. And he might – I think he's going to be a serviceable pro. I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think he's going to be a good backup, nice starter. That's what I think.
Well, and he might have to play at some point here if Jalen gets banged up. James, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll come back at all your phone calls. Plus, the Eagles proposed a rule that did not pass. But what did Dean Blandino say about its future? Maybe it's going to come to the league sooner than later. Plus, we also have to address what's going on in South Philly tonight. And our friends from Yards Brewery here, We got to see if we actually get some food. I think all our coworkers may have taken the food.
I knew this was going to happen.
Unbelievable.
Ridiculous. Vultures.
Right, we're going to try to eat, and then we'll talk in a couple seconds here. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel. Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, lets you bet on every game of the tourney, whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed. It's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. I really like the FanDuel app. Right now, new customers get $200 of bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. I like Iowa State with a short number tomorrow night. That's $200 used on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all, which is probably going to be UConn. Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. FanDuel Sportsbook is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas Show, Julio. You know, they always say good things are worth the wait type of thing. Well, I got to say, Hugh, the food from Yards Brewery came in today to bring us some food and beer, by the way.
Yes.
As, of course, their Philly
they
standard
somebody got
beer.
Their, some fruit punch beer. I've never had fruit punch beer.
So I went to their brewery a couple weeks ago, and I tried the Philly standard, right? And they have different flavors of it. And they pair, because it's funny we were talking about this here, the pairing of foods, right?
Yes.
So if you look in the room they set up the food, you pair certain things with the beer, the flavors.
So like wines.
Like wines or beer, right? Yes. A certain kind of beer goes with the pretzel. Certain kind of beer goes with the wings. Certain kind of beer goes with maybe the salad if you want to go with that.
Yes. I never send it.
So what'd you get?
I got the onion rings.
They're good.
Well, because this is the reason why. Because I thought that, you know, this was going to happen a little bit earlier. So, you know, I have to get ready to go to the gym. So I can't, you know, can't put all that
on. So you're going
to
bring it home with you?
So, yeah, I'm going to grab me some stuff to put on put on my stomach. But he was telling me about the fruit punch beer. And I told him, I said, do I like I drink fruit punch?
But you never had this beer here.
No.
You never had this
but
beer.
But I'm definitely going to try it. He said the case over there that he has over there.
I got a whole case. I mean, we actually have 4 cases in here.
Yeah, well, you have 2, Joe.
No, we got 3 over there. We got 1 over here.
See, he didn't catch it. Yeah. He didn't catch it.
I missed it.
You have 2.
Two. All right. I didn't catch it.
Hey, you got 2 cases.
Oh, you got 2.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted it. I'm trying to sell you on it.
I'm gonna try it because I don't drink fruit punch beer, but I'm gonna try it.
It's very good.
I'm gonna try it because that's what they were telling me.
Don't talk down on fruit punch.
I mean, I've never had it. I've never had fruit.
Well,
punch
I never
beer.
Had fruit punch beer until I tried the Philly Standard.
I mean, but yeah,
I'm not talking about fruit punch beer. I mean, fruit punch. I'm like fruit punch beer is probably delicious, but like you were like, do I look like I drink fruit punch? You should. It's good.
No, I'm just saying. I was trying to be intimidating while eating food at the same time. It didn't translate that way.
Well, why would you want to be intimidating while eating food?
Because it's my mantra. That was my mantra for the day. But
okay.
It didn't work because when he said the fruit punch beer, I was like, hey.
Are you like a cheetah guarding its kill? Like, don't touch my food? Like, getting aggressive?
You know, I think we got into Hugh's brain there. Yes. So, listen, we appreciate Yards coming in. And I've partnered with them. Obviously, Kyle Schwarber has. And then what they have going on right now with the Philly Standard beer and the whole partnership with Kyle. Hugh, every time Kyle goes Yard, If you have the Yards app, download the Yards Brewing app to find the participating bars. You can go and get your first beer on Kyle. And think about how many times Kyle Schwarber hits a home run.
I was
run.
Just thinking about that, Joe, because the thing that got me, I was like, damn, that's going to be a lot of people with a lot of free beer.
I think it was 46 homers 2 years ago, 47 last year.
Yes.
I mean, I told him.
You
got to
give him 50 this
year,
right? 50. You got to hit 50. Dude, I mean, because you're so close.
Did we put too much on Kyle? 50's a lot.
I don't think so.
Okay. I think he'll do it. So download the Yards Brewing app to find the participating bars. I think he's going to go yard a lot this year. Plus, the limited edition collectible pinstripe Philly center cans. You see the cans? They're going to be down at the park this
yes.
year with the
yes.
pinstripes.
I am excited about I'm excited about the Fruit Punch beer. I want to see what that tastes. I really want to see what that tastes like.
So they have a lime, they have an orange, they have a fruit punch. My guess is you're going to be a fruit punch guy. It starts today.
Yeah. I think I'm going to like the fruit punch.
I have an idea what it might taste like.
Fruit punch? Captain you know Obvious over here.
He's right.
I walked into that.
You did.
I did.
You did. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phone lines in a second here. But so the Eagles proposed a rule at the NFL owners' meetings. It did not get passed you, but they mm-hmm. proposed the rule where instead of the onside kick, you know, you'd have the 4th and 20, an untimed down, one down, you have to get 20 yards. If you get, you know, if you convert it, you keep the football, right, instead of an onside kick. And yesterday, we talked about how they're changing the kickoff. You know what I didn't think about?
What you didn't think
the
about?
The new kickoff kills the onside kick, right? If all the players are lined up way down the field, you can't do an on. You can't even try
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because they're kicking at the 35 or something like that, right? Everybody's like lined up really close to 30 to 35.
I think the onside kick is dead anyway. Now, this rule didn't pass, but Dean Blandino, the former rules guy, and now you see him on TV, he thinks this Eagles proposal eventually will get through. Here's what Dean Blandino said.
The success rate in 2023 was 5%. That is very low. Historically, that play is more of a 12%, 13% play. And it's such a critical play in the game because without a viable onside kick option, teams that are behind multiple scores late in games can't come back. And that's what the NFL wants. It's what we all want. Closer games, exciting finishes. So I think this is something that the league is going to have to look at and monitor, because if we have another year of 5%, 4% success rate, I think that 4th and 20 Philadelphia proposal, I think it gains more momentum. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that come up again next year, depending on what happens with the onside kick.
That's pretty interesting that he said that, because it's one of those things when you think about the new onside kick. A lot of people are like, oh, it's not going to happen. I think there's still a chance because now you're talking about different personnels that you could put out there that could potentially make it easier for you. Because the first thing I thought about, with that such a short space and it happening so fast, you put a smaller, quicker running back there, somebody catch the balls, and they can hide behind those bigger guys.
On the new kickoff.
If you decide to do that, it make it kind of hard to see them. So, I mean, they're going to tweak this a little bit, but it's going to be interesting to see how ultimately – if potentially the Eagles will have that 4th and 20 or whatever it is they want in there.
I hope it passes. I mean, I'm just thinking about it from a fan perspective. Like, obviously the Eagles are top of mind for us, but like imagine the Super Bowl and the Chiefs are down 14 points, right, with 2 minutes to go. Mahomes scores, and then they have to kick it off or do an onside, right? That's the only way they get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, imagine the drama of Mahomes coming back on the field on a 4th and 20, and if he converts it, he keeps the football. Like, that would be
that'd be pretty
awesome.
Exciting. That would be pretty exciting.
And yeah, and look, the onside kick at one point, Hugh, it was a fun play, but no one gets it anymore. I mean, like Dan Blandino said, a 5% play, it feels like it's a never play. It just feels like, when was the last time you felt an onside kick was happening?
Actually had a chance to be something.
No. Sometimes it happens as a surprise, but like, when was the last time a team tried it and got it, and you're like, yeah, they might get it? It just doesn't happen anymore.
It's not like
Kyle, I'm glad this is, it feels like this is going to happen one day.
I'm all in on this rule. Like, having one last gasp, like, I understand there's a whole thing of, like, you know, make the play in the first 59 minutes, but it was never that way. Before, you had an onside kick, you had that one last chance. If it's a one possession game and the other team could just kneel it out, you should be afforded that opportunity, a legitimate opportunity, I think. Now, the one thing that I think they're going to have to work on with the 4th and 20 is the PI baiting. Like, do they give you an automatic first down, or should you have to replay the down?
So, okay, but if they don't give an automatic first down, what is the, like, if I'm playing defense, don't I just keep tackling the receiver?
Right. That's I guess, got to be what they iron out
before they put this rule in. It's a play. I think you run it and call it like a play. I mean, Hugh, what do you think about that? Because Kyle's point is, hey, if you have the untimed 4th and 20, is it going to be PI baiting, right? You're just going to try to get the pass interference because that's an automatic first down.
I think that there could be some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's why not? I mean, especially if you're going up for a jump ball or if you got a corner, say you got a slot corner that's going against somebody that's a little bit of a mismatch and not, you know, he's a little handsy. Yeah, I would definitely do that. That's a strategy.
Let's play it out though. Let's say it's a pass interference. Do you then get them? Do they keep the ball, or do they have to try again? Like, what happens on the pass interference?
I don't think you should change the rule that much. I think if it's a PI, you should get it from the spot of the foul.
First down.
Yeah.
Which means you keep the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you get it from the spot of the foul. So yeah. I don't think you want to change that too much.
Yeah. You got to work through that. That's a potential thing there.
Yeah. Like my thing is with the onside kick, there's no bait really. Like, you either make the play or you don't.
There's no ambiguity.
There's too many variables. There's a lot of variables with the 4th and 20. I'm for it. I'm just saying I need to know what they're going to do if a team gets sort of a nonsense PI penalty. And, like, you just chuck it up for the guy to have to run back. I mean, that's where the PIs happen.
Yeah, so you're already preparing yourself for Bradberry to get called for a penalty on the 4th and 20?
No, but all of us to be furious about the Eagles.
That's
getting,
a game strategy, though. Like, I have no problem with strategizing the fact that you get the weakest link out there, and if he can't cover,
you throw it at him.
You throw at that guy. It happens every weekend in the NFL.
I mean, that was Sirianni's strategy in the Seattle game, is go get a PI.
Well, that's what he told us after the game. That might have been a lie. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Larry in Philadelphia. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good
what's up, Larry?
Hey, Larry, what are you thinking today?
For the life of me, I mean, I get our winning percentage is tremendous when he's at first at bat.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't shake the thought of him hitting a grand slam at the 4th spot. If you got Boston Snot, Turner, and Bryce on base, and he come in and just whacks one in the first inning, and it's just it gives us a better advantage to score quicker than other teams. And when he gets hot in June, it just elevates it even more.
So, here's what I'll say. At its best, like when he's at his best, sure, right? Because he's hot and then guys are on base and then he knocks them in, right? I understand your point. But there's also the other side of it, Larry. Like when he strikes out and there's two guys on, you're losing a chance to score runs. If he strikes out and there's nobody on, you kind of just reset the whole thing with, you know, with Turner and Harper after him.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I do. But if in a perfect world, I would say, I think that going into the postseason with him, you know, at a different spot in the lineup, you know, the pitchers we're going up against, they have to readjust and say, all right, well, he's not number one. He's at 4. So now they have to worry about the dudes before him and be like, okay, well, if you got Turner and then Harper, then you got Schwarber, and it's like,
it's like the old school way to build the lineup. I think for years, like if you put this Phillies team, Hugh, back, and Larry, we appreciate it. If you put this Phillies team back 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, Schwarber doesn't hit leadoff. I mean, I recognize that. It's a more of a new school thing, but we're living in the new school. Like, we're living in it, and it has worked, and I think people just like to see the positive of if he was dropped down, but not realize, like, well, he's going to strike out a lot with guys on base.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? The fact that baseball is so steeped in history as far as, like, stats and everything. For a lot of people, this is hard for them to wrap their mind around. The bottom line is, with him in the starting lineup, with him hitting leadoff, they win baseball games.
A lot of them.
That's the bottom line. That's what you're trying to do. That's what you're kind of trying to accomplish. Part of the problem is we have so many people that are baseball purists. They just don't – they want to argue just for the sake of argument right now, because that's what it kind of sounds like to me, because you're kind of twisting yourself into a pretzel trying to make a point about a man that's hitting leadoff and the Phillies are winning baseball games. That's the bottom line. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to win baseball games.
I feel like people need to get this grand slam fantasy out of their head. Like, we all love Kyle Schwarber, and we love how many home runs he hits, but I just want to put something into perspective for everybody here. Kyle Schwarber maybe at best will hit 50 home runs this season.
I think that's
fair. He's going to strike out 4 times as many times. 200 strikeouts in a season for Kyle Schwarber. That's where we need to think about. Like, that's how we need to view Kyle Schwarber, is not the home run guy that's going to get you a grand slam. We need to think of him as the three true outcome guy. He's either going to walk, get on base, or like get on base with a walk, hit a home run, or strike out. Like, just get that through your heads.
And I also, Hugh, I love when he steps up to start the game and hits a home run. Topper always talks about this. It gets
everybody going.
And it gets the opposing pitcher on edge. You're trying to settle into the game. You're like, holy crap. If I throw one down the middle, it's 1-0 Phillies.
Yeah, and there's nothing better to see when he's out there and a pitcher at meltdown on the mound. You're trying to get the game started. And when we were talking to Willie, he was talking about that. Some guys, when you start off the game and you get rocked, you might not be able to recover from that. And that's kind of what he brings to the table as well. These onion rings are pretty good.
All the food is good, too. We're about to lose Hugh here. He's about to walk back in there and get some more food.
You see me keep looking at the window. I'm like, damn, they better not grab those onion rings.
So here's
chicken sandwich is killing me.
I gotta say, so we had a little bit of fear, the three of us in here, because the great people from Yards, Hugh, they came at like 12:55, right? And we're about to go back on the air, so we didn't get.
Our fear was realized, though.
Well, every one of our colleagues ran in there, and so I was like, oh no, there's no food left for us. But they brought so much food, we're in the clear. We're good.
They came like 10 deep. And everybody had something with them. So we have enough food, but still.
Did you notice the line of our coworkers that just like followed them in? It was like a train.
I'm watching now as people walk in. I just hope they don't get those onion rings, because those onion rings are coming with me.
The buzzards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. You bring good stuff, food and beer, people run to it.
I'm not talking about anybody.
Call them out, Hugh.
I'm not.
Name names.
But some folks need to grab some of them salads. And I'm just saying. I'm not saying I ain't talking about nobody.
I will grab a salad, but that's only one person.
I'm gonna grab one too, but a couple folks need to grab some of them salads while y'all in there. Just saying.
Save the onion rings for Hugh.
Yeah, give me the onion rings.
I also feel the need to put this out there, because people are acting like that I don't need to eat because I'm a slender guy.
Needs to eat.
First of all, we need to eat more than
Kyle. We need to stand
anything,
up.
I need to be fed. Feed me.
Yeah, smaller people need to eat more.
It's
we
ridiculous.
Need more food.
Right, what are we talking about here?
Let's even this thing out here. All right, Jeremy is up next in Happer. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Jeremy. What's on your mind today?
I just want to talk on the Xavier Worthy thing, the Schwarber situation, and Philly's prediction, record prediction.
All right, what do you got on Worthy? You want him?
I think if he's there and they like it, I think why not? I mean, with that new hit rule that just came out, and a dude with that speed, if you get him in the clear somewhere in that middle of the field, and he breaks past people, good luck trying to catch a guy running 40 yards up the field. That's the way I see it. But one thing I would say, I think I want anybody to grab him. I do not want him to land with Kansas City. One thing about Kansas City, when it comes to fast receivers with good hands, always work, and I just don't want him there. So he can go anywhere but Kansas City. I don't think it would be a bad idea if the Eagles decide to press the trigger to get him, though.
Look, the speed is undeniable. You put him in this offense, he could stretch. It'd be like what they tried with Quez Watkins, but he just, you know, obviously Quez wasn't good enough. All right, what are you thinking on Schwarber? Lead off or not?
Leave him there. There's no reason that you should even think about moving him. I mean, no shade to the last caller, but it's like you said, put him in a four spot, he strikes out. You leave people on base, and there's no way in hell that I'm having my cleanup hitter and he going to be batting below 200. Probably throughout the whole year, or at least 230. No. You leave him at the top. One thing that I see very well from him being at the top, and I think a lot of people don't really recognize this, is they scared of him. Mm-hmm. A lot of these pitchers, when they go in and they, like you said, they set in, they want to start the game off. You starting the game off against somebody that's hitting in the one spot that can hit 40 home runs, that is not some way that you want to start the game. And one pitcher that I think is very scared of him at the number one is Spencer Strider. So I don't think you take him out of number one at all. I don't care if he strikes out the next seven games straight. Hey, it's working. You don't change something that's been working, no matter if you think someone else can do better at the one or not. They're scared of him. If he can start the game off 1-0, why not have somebody there that's going to put something on the board?
Yeah, it's their identity, and it sets the tone, Jeremy, and that's what I like about it. Jeremy, we appreciate the phone call. It does set the tone for the game, and look, I hope Strider's scared of him, because we get to see Strider tomorrow. You Strider and Zach Wheeler tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of Spencer Strider. I'm not afraid of him.
I'm not afraid of him. He is good, though.
He's definitely a good pitcher, but no, not going up against Schwarbs, and the fact that the Braves have been talking a lot, been chirping a lot about what happened in last year, and the fact that the fans are a little bit over the top. I would argue that they're like that everywhere.
I'd describe it more as belly aching than chirping. Like, they're not even really
Braves,
like, puffing
whining.
Their chests out
they're
at this
whining.
Point. Yeah, they're being babies.
I was being nice.
I know you were. You got to stop being nice to the Braves, Hugh.
I'm not being nice to the Braves.
You just said you are.
I said I was being nice in my assessment of the situation. That would have been anybody. I like the Braves. See, there we go with that again.
Well, it's there
we
in the
system.
We got
the tape back here, Hugh.
All right, speaking of people we don't have to be nice to, we got a situation going on tonight in South Philadelphia.
What we got?
We got a return. James Harden's back in town tonight.
Oh yeah, the clip show. The
Clippers are here.
Did anybody see when he was he had a moment where he went to block one of his teammates' shots?
Yeah.
What was he doing on that?
I have no idea. I mean, I saw it too. I mean, he literally, I think it was Kawhi, passed over the corner.
And then he went to block it.
He didn't block it, but
he went to, yeah, it
but
was
he
weird.
Looked like he tried. So he's back tonight. I'm going to the game tonight. Taking my kids.
Are you gonna boo?
My kid's first Sixers game. Yeah, we got a boo.
Does Joe strike you as like a?
I mean, I don't.
I need a strong booer.
You want a strong booer? You want a strong boo from me?
I'm like boo.
All right, what do we think it's going to be like tonight? Because
it's going to be so weak.
I agree. I don't think it. Now he's not going to get any cheers. I mean, I think it's zero cheers. But I don't foresee a hearty stand up. Everyone boo him. Like for instance, when Ben Simmons came back, I think it's more that everyone just looks at him as you're just not a winner. I mean, like you
indifferent.
Yeah, like I think most people don't like James Harden here, but I don't sense the same vitriol as when Ben came back.
No, when Ben came back, it was just like all your hopes and dreams were dashed because of how that playoff scenario or that playoff series went with the Atlanta Hawks, and how he just refused to shoot in that moment.
Well, and then he sabotaged the whole next season, and you know he said you know he had some mental health stuff going on, but he basically said in the summer he wouldn't play for the Sixers again, and they couldn't trade him until February.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was ridiculous. The Harden thing wasn't quite as drawn out. Would that take like 2 months, a month and a half?
But it was still kind of wild though, because when he went to was it overseas, and
he was in China. Yeah,
yeah. He basically talked bad about Daryl.
Daryl Morey's a liar.
Yeah, flat out. That's a strong thing to say about somebody. Just call him a liar.
It was an awkward ending for sure between two guys that
very, very
knew
awkward.
Each other for like. Yeah, I expect some boost tonight, but I do not think it's going to be over the top. Like the Ben thing was.
It was wild.
Well, because Ben Simmons was drafted here as a number one pick and was supposed to become a pillar, and you know people thought he'd be a Hall of Fame player in Philadelphia, and he quit.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.